welcome back to another episode. A little bit different, a little bit crazy, a little bit of a gotcha moment. Your favorite podcast.
Gotcha.
It's Grey's Academy. Two favorite hosts in the entire world. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey. It's a beautiful night for a podcast. Thank you guys so much for your patience. The world was against us this week.
It really was.
I had a horrible day on Wednesday, like mental health wise, like it was all out the window. I talk a little bit more about it on our Patreon, but
you had a horrible day Monday too.
I had a horrible day Monday, and then I had to go to the doctor on Tuesday, and then like a culmination of all of those things was like hit me on Wednesday, and I was like, I can't. And so then we were going to record Thursday, and then Carmen's house was under tornado watch.
It was literally
and warning.
I was getting ready. Jess was starting to get the, she like goes to stand up to go get her stuff to do her progesterone shot, and our phones start screaming at us that crazy sound.
Yeah.
And then I look at it and I go, huh, that's weird. And then I hear the sirens go off, the tornado sirens. And Jess is from a place that gets lots of tornadoes. Actually, they got two tornadoes this week and in literally Jess's hometown. And she's terrified of them. So I go, okay, all right, let's go. So we get on stairs. We have Marlo's helmet and we grab our shoes. We get on stairs. And Jess goes, well, I need to do my progesterone shot. And I was like, okay, I'll go get it. Like, I'll go upstairs and I'll grab it. So I go all the way upstairs to get the box of the progesterone. And I go pretty quick, just in case. And I get upstairs and I go, oh, yeah, I should get my Pokemon card binder. So I get my Pokemon card binder.
Priorities.
And listen, if in a worst case scenario, if we had a delay getting homeowner's insurance, I would have to sell that binder for to live off of. So it's my insurance policy.
Yeah, I'm sure that's really going to carry all three of you through the rebuilding process.
At least until the insurance check cleared. We do have homeowner's insurance, so you know we're not living on the edge. But yeah, it was crazy. And then today I texted Kelsey and I was like, should we do an episode, right? Like, should we try again? And she said, I mean, yeah, like, I guess we'll try.
Yeah, we're going to try. Who knows what will stop us this time?
But I think there's a really big message here, and you could see it in the title. Guys.
He did it.
I did it. I watched an episode of Private Practice, and I'd like to talk about it. But first, do we have any shout-outs?
No.
I think I have a couple.
Okay.
I want to start by shouting out, oh, the White Sox just beat the Dodgers 8-2. Suck it, Dodgers. I want to shout out a sweet friend, a new friend named Bailey. She messaged me. So I messaged her, introduced myself. I think she followed us around March, or I might have been delayed in getting back to her. But she messaged me on Saturday saying, life has, you know, beat the hell out of her and she's finally caught up and just so excited to watch alongside us. But, she did start a new job and wanted to shout her out on the podcast. So hella big shout out, Bailey, on your new job. I want to also shout out.
Did you apologize to her for insulting her name multiple times on this show?
Bailey?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Mm.
That's because I've done no wrong. Also want to shout out new friend Christy for loving all the stuff that we talk about. And also they want to hear more takes on how to get away with murder. So maybe that's something that someday we'll have time for doing. But, you know, don't get your hopes up. I want to shout out.
We're if this barely episode is getting teaching us anything.
To Private Practice. Shout out Alicia just for being fucking cool, dude.
Yep.
Just you rock.
Always.
Always.
Always and forever.
And that's not related to Grays. I think there was another one. I can't remember who else, but I'll have to take a look. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's all I got for right now. Fuck, I really thought there was one more thing.
There's not.
There's probably not. There's always another thing, though.
I mean, there is, but he can't remember it.
He can't remember it. So, yeah, we're going to move on. So, all right. With that being said, let's do the thing that we do, which is create content and give it. Never mind. I wasn't going to say what I was going to say. It was going to be too sexual. So let me explain something to you guys. I watched this episode of Private Practice. We're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I learned through watching Private Practice again, a couple of things. Are you ready for this, Kelsey?
Yes.
The first thing is, it's really easy to bully me.
Yes.
When you start accusing me of hating women.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're me, a woman.
Right. But you're not a woman. You're Kelsey.
Right.
So,
because Carmen hates women.
Shout out to our dear friend and Patreon patron, Zoe. So personally attacking me. I also need to apologize to Brianna, because Brianna also has been attacking me for a long time. I think Private Practice never left my subconscious because Brianna was always kind of right there giving the gentle
and
nudge.
And Janisha, I think, as well.
And Janisha. And then Zoe comes in out of nowhere and then quotes me to me, which, how fucking dare you quote me to me?
That's the best way to get Carmen to do something, is be like, the proof is you have said it, so you can't go against it.
So shout out to Zoe. But here it is. We've done it. That's thing number one. Okay. Thing number two. I needed this episode to be live for the masses to say this. I have been unfair with my hate to Private Practice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's really not that bad of a show.
No.
Because this is going to take me into thing number three. I think I just had to get a little bit of space from it. I trauma blocked out in my head the vicious, spoiler alert, if you're watching this, if you're listening to this episode, like, fucking, come on, spoiler alert. Season 4, episode 8 is what I just watched. So if you're not here, stop listening to this. Spoilies be damned. I forgot about the attack that Charlotte went through. I forgot about the rape.
Yeah.
I forgot about everything. And I forgot that I was so annoyed with the Addison and Sam storyline.
Mm-hmm.
That I had to get separation from it. So the trauma block for me, I think, paired with the annoyance of Addison, is that what
Addison.
It was? Addison.
That's what it
thank
is.
You. I'm like, there's a name.
I was like, you're close, but it's not it.
So with that being said, those three things, I have learned that it's not that bad of a show. I will continue to watch it. My notes were minimal in comparison. It also, I think, you know, felt like a big lift to watch the show and then take all these notes and do the stuff. But I feel good. I'm going to get back and rewatch it. I think also this is a me thing. I spend my time on the week that we record. Doing grays. So 2 days of train travel are absorbed by one episode of Grays, taking notes and watching. That I don't want to use the other non-Grays train days for like work. I like to be able to play Pokemon. I doom scroll. I watch World War II videos like a man. Or watch people open Pokemon cards. Same thing, basically.
Like a man.
Like a man. So, but I enjoyed watching this episode, and I enjoyed watching kind of what was happening next. But to everyone that I have abused with my hatred and
slander
of Private Practice, I apologize. And to the broken promise, especially to Janisha, to her face, I am sorry. But we're in it. I'm back. I think I can do at least one episode every other week. So we'll finish this show in like the same time we're finishing Grey's in 30 years.
Yeah. Honestly, I also don't think you've watched everything up to this point in Grey's. I mean, in Private Practice.
I'm fairly certain I have.
I thought we skipped stuff to get you caught up to where we were.
Let me double check. But I thought season... because season four, I watched all of seasons 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
Because getting to season four, I was on, I had to skip
some stuff to get to when they came to Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. So I ended at season 4, episode 7.
Okay.
And it was,
because there was a crossover at some point. I guess it was season 5, or maybe it's later season 4. I don't fucking know.
Hold on a second. Okay, so season 4, episode 6, the end, the last note that I have is Charlotte just got fucking rocked and punched and is, I'm sure, about to get raped.
Yes. And that is what happened. And then season 7 is kind of the aftermath. The immediate aftermath. Season 4. Sorry. Season 4, episode 7.
Which I watched. I watched episode 7.
Yes. And then that is brutal.
Very brutal. And then I watch season 5, episode 4.
Okay.
And then I watched season 5, episode 12. And then we did the catch-up episodes. So I'm back on season 4, episode 8. So I went back to where I was. So I, to be clear, everyone, I watched over 3 seasons of this show.
And we just never talked about it.
That is a different problem.
Right. Well, and at a certain point, you were like blowing through them to get up to another crossover episode. Like there was like little to no note taking. You were just like having them on to get to a crossover point.
Yeah, so maybe what we can do in the future as we're working on this is if there's enough time in my life,
mm-hmm.
we can do our cold open Grey's episodes with some private practice every once in a while, and we'll get more routine on this recording.
And we
process.
Are doing our best, but Carmen is going to have another baby, and I did buy a business, so things are just everywhere.
Yeah.
But we have goals. We do want to do it.
It's so crazy. Like, what were we doing? This podcast is 4 years old?
Yeah. No. In September, it was September 2021 is when we started.
So almost 5 years old.
Yes. I had, between the two of us, there was one child.
Two children.
No.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Marla was born in mm-hmm. November 2021.
Yeah.
We have just grown.
Yeah.
This it's crazy to think. What was I even doing in 2021? Was I?
I think you were living with Cindy
when we started. And I was still at Lucid.
Mm-hmm. You guys were living with Cindy. We were still in Florida. And then we did it for a while we lived with Michael's parents. And then now we live here and you live there. I had a million children.
So much lore on our podcast. Yeah. We've been through a lot.
Yeah, it's actually insane.
Wow. Okay, I've changed churches.
Yeah,
we've changed
jobs.
I've changed dogs.
Dogs, jobs.
Dogs, jobs, and gods.
Mm-hmm.
Not actually God. Just that one.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Anyways, so is there anything that you want to say about my 3 revelations?
No.
Speaking of God.
No, I'm all about it. I totally understand it is really hard. Only, like, what makes it hard is because he wants to take notes. Like, we did even try at one point. I was like, just watch it and then we'll just talk about it. And he was like, okay, I'm just going to take, like, bullet point notes. And by the second episode, because I was like, oh, watch 3 and we'll talk about 3 in one sitting. And by the second episode, he was taking, like, regular Grey's level notes. And I was like, bro, you can't. We're never going to do this.
Yeah. I think that was during the time. And I have not felt this way for a while, but when I was like, I'm just so exhausted watching TV because I was watching Grey's for notes and then I was watching Private Practice for notes. I wasn't watching any content or media for fun.
Yeah.
And I was truly becoming exhausted. So I think that's also part of where maybe part of that trauma block is too, is like
the burnout.
Private Practice burned me out on, I didn't get to watch anything for fun.
Well, and it's like if you didn't,
just
at least
punch
with
the microphone.
Yeah, I really did. at least with Grey's, you like enjoy it. If you were only medium enjoy Private Practice, it becomes way more like homework. Versus Grey's is like, yes, it's work, but it's something we've been doing for so long, and it is a show that you genuinely enjoy. So it's like feels less like work.
And I think also, too, yeah. Grays, while it handles heavy storylines, it doesn't feel like heavy characters.
Well, the issue with Grays is, now listen, guys, I understand that Private Practice is a very divisive show. I love it, but I also understand that, like, the people on it are objectively, like, pretty bad people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do, like, I'll admit that. I think it's very interesting to watch. I love to watch it because I love messy. Like, to me, that's, like, that's television.
Oh, I don't like messy. I don't
the
like
messy,
it.
The messy, I'm just like, yes. Because, like, Private Practice becomes to the point where I'm like, I have to remove. Like, this is so unrealistic. I have to just remove it from reality. Like, sometimes with Grays, I'm like, wow, what if this actually happened in a hospital setting to someone I know? And in Private Practice, I'm like, would never happen. None of this would ever happen. All of these people are trash. They're all just sleeping together and yelling at each other and, like, breaking HIPAA every other day. And, like, I just fucking love it. I don't even care. I love it.
That's so funny. Yeah, I think, again, like, what I was starting to say that just a second ago is Grey's feels like it tackles heavy storylines. Private Practice feels like it tackles, like, heavy characters. Like, mm-hmm. those characters are, yes, messy to your point, but they go through or experience or are creating the craziest shit. Yeah. And that, to me, is emotionally burdensome. So I'm not going to say that Private Practice is a bad show anymore. I think I just need to explain to people that the way that, like, this is How to Get Away with Murder. Everyone was terrible. Yeah. Scandal, everyone was terrible. And one of them was running the fucking country. Like, everyone.
Well, that's real. That is realistic.
Well, that's fair. Everyone sucks in those shows. But it, to me, there was like a, like, especially How to Get Away with Murder, there was a different aspect of, like, the murder mystery kind of, like, yeah. intensity. But, like, it felt like so much of that show, episode one, you're over the fucking shark. Everything is, like, it's so insane.
Yeah.
That by the time this episode, it's like, this could really happen. These things could really happen. The thing with Charlotte, this shit really yeah. happens. The thing with, didn't the house explode? Like, was
oh yeah, with Dell.
Dell, did he die?
No.
The wife, the mom died, right?
The mom died.
Yeah. We saw that. I saw that.
Wait, what happened in the season three?
I can tell you because I took some fucking notes.
yeah. Tell me what happened at the end of season three.
Let me see here. Maya, I think, has a baby or has a miscarriage or something.
No, she has a baby and Dell does die.
Dell. Oh, yeah. Wait.
He does die, in the house explosion in the car wreck.
So, wait. Dell is awake, but has another bleed. He asks for his daughter. Wait, yeah, he did die. Dang. See, I don't remember that. The wife died when the house exploded.
Because she was cooking meth.
Why did Dell die?
He was driving Maya to the hospital when she went into labor, and this drunk guy was driving, and he crossed the line and drove into them head on. And so they had to do emergency surgery to deliver the baby, and everyone thought Dell was fine, but he wasn't fine. And then he was fine. He was awake, and then they had to go back in, and he did not live.
And he shares that he got into medical school, and then he dies, and then his daughter is so sad, and that made me cry. Yes.
Yep. Betsy cannot catch a fucking break.
Yeah, that's right. And at the end of that episode, Addison just goes to Sam and takes her clothes off and they fuck.
Yeah. She's like, I can't not be with you anymore because everything is just fucking terrible.
Yeah.
So
yeah, love the casual, light episodes of Private Practice. So, okay, let's talk about this episode really quick. So, Charlotte is back to work, but like can't go in her office because everything makes her remind her of the shit.
Yes.
Makes sense. And then I also did forget that Sam and Addison fucked because they wake up and they're, you know,
well, they're like together now.
Yeah, they're together.
Yeah.
And then something about a guy. So this girl has cancer and the chemo's not working, but it sounds like chemo, like the mom died previously. Yeah. And the guy's like, chemo didn't work for my daughter. So we're going to see a shaman.
So chemo did work. She was in remission. The cancer came back.
Ah.
So he didn't want to do chemo again. So he was like, I'm going to try a shaman. At some point, between the first time his daughter got diagnosed and now, his wife passed away.
Yes.
And
yes.
She was against the shaman. That had apparently been discussed already. And she was made it clear that that was not something she supported. So he now wants to take the daughter to a shaman because nothing else is working. And then because one thing that private practice does really, really well is disrespect a boundary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those people, not an ethic to be found.
Mm-hmm.
Every law broken.
Yep.
Every line crossed. Messy, messy people. This is what I tell you. I love the mess. So Pete, obviously, with his background being in like infectious disease, but also other like holistic medicines, he's like, I support it. Like, I'll still be there for you guys and like support you through this. But, you know, I do think also chemo, but I'm going to respect it. Cooper's like, I'm going to report them for child abuse.
Yeah, let's get a judge in here. How about that, motherfuckers? And Pete's like, yo, dude, like what?
Like, pump the brakes, right? And Cooper's like, I won't, because I can't deal with my own personal trauma and the trauma that my wife or fiance, whatever, is going through. So I am going to now ruin everyone else's lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he calls protective services. And is like, child abuse. And then a judge gets involved, obviously. And they, oh, also, like, in the midst of the shaman ritual, I guess is the word, the girl, like, can't breathe and just dies. Like, fully has no pulse. They have to call 911. The dad's like, wait, let the shaman finish. I'm like, bro, this is, like, I was on your side, kind of. Like, I was respectful. And I am pulling back on that now. Like, well, also, like, if your kid has no pulse, like, maybe let the doctor do something.
Yeah. And at one point, so in that ritual, they're in a trailer park. So, and Cooper makes some sort of comment about it. And he's like, trailer park shaman, which is crazy because, like, I would listen to that band called Trailer Park Shaman. But fast forwarding to the end, so the judge is talking to this family and mm-hmm. Pete has this conversation with the girl and he's like, what do you want? Like, I will back whatever you want. She's like, I don't want chemo. And he's like, okay, so you want the shaman? She's like, well, I don't want chemo. Okay. Weird answer, but fine. Turns out that she doesn't
at
want,
like, nine.
Yeah. Crazy. Doesn't want the chemo because they've had to sell their house to live in a trailer park to pay for bills. And I think she's got two siblings. So there's like three kids in this house. So yeah, it's like all, yes.
And
very
that
messy.
Is when we say the American healthcare system stays fucked.
I literally wrote this, this note. I said, America is fucked. They sold their house to afford cancer treatment. America
and now they can't even
is
do that.
Fucked.
Yeah. And crazy. This was
70 years ago. This show came out.
Literally. It was like probably 2013, maybe.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
So much has changed for no better at all.
Yeah. And yeah, so that was a crazy story. And then, you know, but they basically, she's like gonna die. She's like, I'm ready for this. I'm ready to die. Or no, they do the shaman. Do they do the shaman one more time? Or do they
do the, well, the judge is like, you have to get chemo.
Oh, okay.
Because the little girl says, like, I don't want chemo because of, it's expensive.
Because money, yeah.
And the judge is like, that's really not your burden. And I'm like, I see where you're coming from, but unfortunately, America stays fucked. So it is her problem.
Yeah.
It is her burden. It has become her burden. Regardless of the fact that it should absolutely not be her burden. They still, I think Pete still organizes, my understanding of it is Pete and Cooper still organize the shaman to come in addition to the chemo because they do want to be respectful.
They do it in the hospital that Charlotte
has. It's like both kind of. Yeah, it's just, yeah, America stays fucked. So,
yeah,
you know, that's where we are.
On top of that, so the other concurrent storyline to that is there's this guy who looks like he's the grandpa version of Sam from Lord of the Rings. Okay.
Yes, that's a very apt comparison.
Thank you. I actually was like, should I do research? Is this just him in like an old person costume? I didn't. But he...
This episode aired 2010.
Wow. 16 years. I graduated high school 2010. Hmm. You graduated 2009.
Eight.
Damn,
I'm
bitch.
A genius. I'm fucking 1 year older than you. And fucking I'm old. So much smarter.
2 years. Math genius.
Yeah. No, I'm 1 year older than you.
Oh. You had to repeat
fucking
a year.
Math genius. No. You dumb bitch. Oh, my God.
You repeated 3 years.
Oh, my God. He's so dumb, you guys.
Woo! All right, Ric Flair. Okay, so, yeah, this guy and this woman, they're married, and she's, like, got some sort of tumor that basically makes her pissed off anytime they argue, and just she beats the shit out of him. But
yeah,
he's
it's,
like,
the inability to, like, control... her anger slash rage.
Yeah.
And it comes like out you. In physical violence. Right. Well, I don't do the physical violence.
At least not when I'm in the room.
Well, it's mostly because you're not in the room.
Yeah.
I can't punch the computer. That would be counterintuitive.
Yeah. We don't have it in the budget to repair a computer every week.
Every single week, seven times a week. Yeah, I this is like a weird storyline to me. Sheldon is so like, he's like, hey, this is super fucked up, which it is. And he pushes for Addison to do an exam to be like, find out why this is happening to her. Because everyone's like, she's so little. It's fine if she punches her husband, which I understand Sheldon's point. No,
yeah,
it's not.
He does and say at one point, like, what if the roles were reversed? It'd be yeah. no question.
And everyone's like, well, yeah, but that would be different. I'm like, and he's like, right. But like, that's fucked up.
He's so, the best psychiatrist on this show.
He's arguably probably the best person on this show.
I actually do think that he's, in my very limited remembering of the mm-hmm. show, I think I like, and I may have said this, Charlotte and Sheldon mm-hmm. were my favorite two characters on the show.
Yeah. I think Sheldon is definitely the most grounded in reality.
And Addison. I mean, she's not grounded in any reality.
No,
but
not even
Addison.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do love her.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would say Sheldon, of everybody, probably the most grounded in reality. And then, gosh.
I can't believe Del died. I forgot.
I know.
I can't get over
this. It's actually insane.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a second. Can we like, anyways, sorry.
I know, it's like Del's dead.
I actually, at one point in this episode, told myself, where's Del? Where's that one guy? He's fucking dead.
Where's that cute server guy? He's dead. R.I.P.
They gave him a
Del.
Buzz cut after one episode. They said, fuck your hair, bro.
God, he was really cute. I had such a crush on him when I watched the show real time. Damn.
Man, that's funny. Well, anyways, what were you going to say? Sorry.
He was in Inventing Anna.
Living
another
in Shondaland.
Show.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyways, so yeah. Sheldon pushes Addison to examine... What's her name? Is it Katie? Sarah? What is her name? I literally had it on right before we started recording.
I didn't write down any of their names. It's just husband and wife.
His name is Nick. I remember that.
His name is Samwise the Old.
Right. So Addison like finds this tumor on some gland that makes her mad or whatever it is. Rachel. Her name's Rachel. And then they're like, we can treat it. And they're like, no, we can't. And then he's like, I would never leave her. It's fine if she kills me. It feels unresolved.
Well, I think the resolution was she's going to go to a home and he's going to buy an apartment close by. And then they're going to have some sort of old age.
The notebook
moment where they're laying in bed. Thank you. You and I. Okay. You and I are in sync because that's exactly the reference that I was going to be making. Thank you. We're a good team. You know that?
We are. It's true.
That was going on during all that. And then the last storyline, again, the hardest of the storylines that's running alongside these mm-hmm. in parallel is the Charlotte returning to work. Addison is telling Sam, basically she's got a secret that she can't tell because it's illegal. And then she proceeds to tell him the secret. And then Sam proceeds to try to not tell Violet the not secret that he doesn't know. And basically
again,
Yeah.
Not an ethic to be found.
HIPAA can go fuck itself.
Not in that office. Not at Oceanside Wellness.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. So, Oceanside wrongness, am I right?
So true.
So, yeah, they, but anyways, so, but also it's like interesting because the, everyone in the show is kind of tiptoeing around Charlotte, understandably.
Yeah.
It's awkward. And Cooper makes it awkward for everyone that, that first scene where he's like, hey, everyone, just, I ran up here. I sprinted ahead. So don't be weird. And then no one.
And then they're weird. And he's like, wow, I specifically told you not to be weird. And you were all weird. Yeah. You're all useless to me.
Yeah. And then what I does who says, I think that went as well as can be expected. I think
Sheldon.
I think Sheldon did say that. Yeah.
And yeah, Addison's like trying to like make like laser eye at everybody. Like someone ask her if she was raped because she hasn't, no one else knows.
Yeah.
But Addison. And Addison's like, I won't tell anyone, but I'm going to like make weird faces at everyone and just hope they figure it out. But then I'm just going to tell my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then he's going to tell everyone. Like, it's just insane. It's so messy. It's so messy.
So she, what I'm understanding is, and I forgot this, so if it happened in the episode I watched, I'm sorry. But so she did a rape kit that Charlotte did not want, and then she kept the DNA evidence of the rape kit that was not asked for in the hospital in a fridge.
Correct.
Cool. Which is illegal.
Not an ethic.
Yeah.
Not a boundary. They said, here's a line, please leap over it.
And then do an Irish
pirouette
jig on it, please.
Pirouette across the line and then get on a horse and gallop as far away as possible.
Yeah.
Listen, I love this show. I really do. Like, I don't think it's a bad show. I just like have to address it with the reality of the fact that like these people are bad. It makes really good television. I understand why this show is divisive, but I have always loved this show.
What's
funny? Because I love Addison, and I love, love, love Charlotte and Amelia.
What's funny is, oh, Amelia, couldn't remember her name, and Derek calls her Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. It's funny you said this makes good television. You know what actually makes good television? The Tom Hanks World War II documentary. That's good television.
I love that for you. I don't even know if I've watched anything new lately because I've just had like the shit show of a week I was telling you about.
Well, you know what makes good television? Your weddings. That makes good television.
Damn, that really would have been like such a reality show.
Yeah.
Like so, pulling a gym, like looking at the camera, like, is this true? Is this real?
Yeah.
We're holding it up right now.
You know what we should do is we should offer, you should offer a package for your wedding service where you just have the co-hosts of Grey's Academy.
So you.
You and me. No, you and me together. So you would have to hire a different coordinator. It's part of the package.
Okay.
So they pay for a new coordinator, and then they pay for us as contract workers to be in their wedding, but like fuck with them the whole time. It's like a fun thing, right? It's a. But then there's also someone videoing it, and they're videoing us doing it.
Interesting. As a wedding, someone in the wedding industry, it doesn't sound fun.
It sounds fun when I say it.
I see.
But like, well, they would also get they would get their own episode of a TV show,
right,
titled Their Wedding, but it's starring them
their
and then
wedding
us as supporting.
Starring us.
Yeah.
But you're there in too, I guess, in the background.
Anyone
well, tomorrow
out there
the
listening?
High is 90 and I do have a wedding, so.
Nice.
It's outside.
Nice. You can't see Kelsey's face, but she's very not happy about this.
No, but like, honestly, the people are so sweet and lovely, and I do want it to be a great day for them. And I just need to reset after the other one.
It's
so
going to be.
It'll be a nice palate cleanser because, like, they are truly genuinely lovely people, and I have enjoyed working with them to plan their wedding. And they have a good list of vendors, so it'll be, like, it'll be a relatively seamless day, knock on wood. I just hope everyone hydrates.
Yes. It's going to be, you know what? It's going to be 82 with the breeze tomorrow.
Honestly, as long as there's cloud coverage, it really isn't so bad in the ceremony spot. But if there's no cloud coverage, it is direct sunlight.
Love it.
Just worry about the grandparents. They're all so old.
Yeah. Or if they're very fair skinned like your boy. Sunburn.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anyways. So, yeah. The whole thing with, so ultimately, Addison tells Sam, Sam goes to Violet and is like, hey, I can't tell you something, but you should really wink, wink, check on Charlotte. And then at one point, Violet goes to Sheldon and she's like, hey, we should check on Charlotte. And he's like, yeah, it's crazy. You know, I wasn't there that night. I was getting beaten up by a rapist. And then Violet kind of like reacts and he's like, yo, you think she was raped? And she's like, I don't know. And then by the end of the episode, there's also one other part I'm skipping over in my notes, but at the end of the episode, Sheldon goes to the police and he's like, hey, I think I know who the rapist raped.
Yeah.
And so it's like slowly coming together. I'm actually kind of excited to see where the storyline comes because I'd love for that motherfucker to get some fucking justice.
Yeah.
Hopefully he does. But there's a side storyline where Amy goes to Charlotte and she's like, hey, dude, want some donuts? Because I think you might be wanting to be back on pills. And then she's like, if you ever want to go to meetings, like, we're good. And she's like, nah, dude, hell no, that ain't me. Turns out it is. And she gets crazy and she, again, understandably, she wipes everything off of her desk. She goes to Amy and she's like,
well,
let's go to meetings together.
Hold on, because you're skipping
I'm
the
paraphrasing.
Part.
There's a lot of things happening.
But the trigger for her is Charlotte, or is fucking
Violet comes in. Yeah.
Is like, I figured it out. Charlotte was raped. I'm going to go tell her about a time I was raped, which I don't know that, like, I mean, I don't know that we're given a timeline. It feels like we are maybe a week out from that attack. We do not need to
and
be
it's
like,
first
and
day back
this is a time
work.
That it happened also to me. Like, I totally respect, like, sharing your own trauma to, like, relate and help someone through something. But I just feel like we are not reading the room. And also, like, Violet knows Charlotte. And that just does not seem to be what Charlotte would need in that exact moment. It just, to me, especially coming from someone who's, like, a licensed mental health doctor, I'm just like, I cannot imagine that that is the best choice to make.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, I just didn't like love that if in the reality of like the timeline, like maybe when Charlotte is farther removed from it and she is seeking out people around her, like I definitely think that is the time. Like, yes, share that. Yes. Like, I just really did not like that she just goes in and is like, me too, also the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
And I like Violet a lot, but I just did not like that moment.
Yeah, let's, there was at one point where Violet goes up to Charlotte earlier in the episode, not about the rape thing, but she's like, listen, I've been through a traumatic experience. I get it. I also forgot that Violet had a baby ripped out of
her.
Right. By a psycho person. So when she's like, you think because you had a psychopath attack you and rip a baby out of you that you know what I'm going through? First off, hard stop. Yes. Second, Charlotte was like way too aggressive in that moment. She's like, you're damaged goods. I'm not. Fuck you. Get out of here. But like, she's dealing with her own shit the way that she can.
Right. Well, and that does ring more true to Charlotte just in general.
Yeah.
Okay. It does not make her a good person. I'm not saying that is a good choice to do that. I'm not like saying yay for her for saying those things to Violet. I do feel like sometimes people, and this is all shows, I feel like this happens. There's always someone who's like rough and tough and, you know, they've got their walls up and they don't like to open up to people. And in this show, that person is Charlotte. And in any show, something happens where like they're attacked or like someone they love dies or something happens and other people just go to them and act like they're not this, like they don't know who this very established character is. Because the trope is like, oh, I'll like relate to them and they'll break down and love me for it. And sometimes that is what happens. And with Charlotte, it's not, which I do like that that's not what happens. So, like, yeah. She goes to Amelia, who is an established safe space for her, and is like, let's go to a meeting. And I do think that the actress, Katie Strickland, who plays Charlotte, really does this, the whole storyline really well.
But it's good so far.
Yeah, I just feel like everyone's like, I'll just act like this is a completely different person and being my like a being someone's like bestie that I historically don't have a great relationship with.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
They're all just being messy people.
Messy people.
Messy people on the beach.
Yeah. Just with their
messy beach
gobs of money.
messy, messy beach doctors.
There was something else I was going to say. So anything else with private practice? I know we're going to probably wrap this up here in a second, but
Naomi,
she was not is gone, episode.
Right? Like she's like in Germany or something.
Yeah, like yeah, something like that. I know that she's gone somewhere. The only thing I will say, and this is not to end on a downer note, which I guess is hard to do comparatively to an episode all about a woman returning to work who is brutally beaten and raped.
Yeah.
But I went to a funeral today.
Oh, okay.
That's why my hair is done. I went, it's been so nice. Just like not even care. I put a hat on every day. I'm like, I wake up, it gives me an extra 30 minutes of sleep every day. But I did my hair today to go to this wedding because I wore a suit.
Funeral.
And funeral. You went to a funeral. I said, you go to weddings.
I go to funerals.
Yeah. So it was someone that I used to work with, and there was a moment. So I had not seen this person for a long time, but they beat cancer, went back to work, which also the American healthcare system is fucked up that you need
to stay fucked. America stays fucked. You guys.
Has to go back to work to pay your medical bills and shit. So he had died, I think, in his sleep. He was in his 50s. Good guy. And we're at the funeral. I almost said wedding again. We're at the funeral, and I had forgotten that he did not have kids, but I don't think I ever realized that he also was never married. And I want to be very clear. Number one, no judgment. Some people enjoy that time alone. Some people don't want marriage. Some people don't want kids. Mm-hmm. And there's another half to this story. But I had a moment where I was like, wow, I'm just so grateful for Jessica and I'm so grateful for Marlo. Because I think for a lot of people, dying alone and being alone is very scary. And, you know, I'm just very grateful to be in a spot where I have a loving wife and a daughter who I hope far outlives me. Mm-hmm. And then his brother was the one who's giving this eulogy and talking through how he lived this life where in his 50s and he was still telling these teenage kids at like fests, like just going up to them and saying, you'll never know music because Ozzy Osbourne was the best musician of all time. Like just this fun guy. And, you know, you look around at the people who were there and, you know, that's your legacy. And I'm just grateful for all the people in my life. I'm grateful for you, Kelsey, a dear friend. And I just, if you have someone in your life who has shaped your life, whether they're a sibling, a parent, a child, a cousin, a friend, tell them that you love them. And it's, you know, coming away from a funeral is always tough. You think about what your legacy is and the people around you. But just today, I just thought a little bit more about how lucky I am for what I have in my life. And for, you know, all the friends that I've made with this podcast, new friends who I would never have been connected to in this world.
I am also grateful for you.
I'm grateful
if
for you.
If you died, I would speak at your funeral and I would make the appropriate amount of inappropriate jokes on your behalf because it is what you would want.
It is
and
what I would want.
I believe that in my heart.
There is another thing that I need you to know. It's going to be in my wishes and it will be notarized with a lawyer. If I die before this show, before we finish this show.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to make an official request for AI to listen
no,
to all
boo.
Of our episodes,
boo.
Copy my voice, and then it's going to have to then watch the episodes, and you're going to have to use an AI co-host of me to finish this show.
But the thing is, there's no way AI doesn't know how Grey's Anatomy ends.
Well, you'll have to make the prompt new for every episode.
I just think it would know. It would read the internet, and it would know all the things that happen.
It's okay. We'll make it work. By the time I die in 60 years and we're only on season 15. Anyways.
Well, guys, thank you so much. Thank you for being flexible.
Private practice is back, baby!
We're doing our best. Woo! And we love you guys so much. So we appreciate you all. Carmen's watching it. Don't tell him what happens. Also, don't tell him what happens in Grey's. and just keep sharing us and telling everybody all the things and following us and leaving us reviews and ratings and everything. And we just love ya. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, remember,
no spoilies for Grays or Private Practice or anything else in case I get to it. So we love you all. We appreciate the things you do. Words. We'll see you all in the next one.